Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from back in Annapolis, Maryland, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, a group of dedicated patriots trying to get people to understand the foundations of our freedom. Pastor David Whitney, thank you so much for being with us again.
Columbus Day, we surely should note that here's a Christian man who's been sadly misrepresented, and in a sense what he established and what he was looking to establish was the evangelization of this part of the world. Now, although he thought he was sailing to the Indies, his goal was to take the gospel there, and as a matter of fact, he saw himself fulfilling biblical prophecies, specifically Isaiah 60 and verse 9, "Surely the isles shall wait for me," the Lord said, "and the ships of Tarshish," which is another word for Spain, "the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee." And so while Christopher Columbus certainly had his flaws and faults, nonetheless he was a Christian seeking to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into the unknown parts of the world that had not heard the gospel yet. For that reason deserves our honor. Even on this day.
But of course the thing is that everything has been done to deprecate Christopher Columbus, and he was a bad white guy, and he just wanted to steal everything from the natives, because of course if you can deprecate Christopher Columbus and the founding fathers of America and not teach people about the Bill of Rights and about the Declaration of Independence, about the Constitution, and convince them that we're a democracy and that whatever the government says goes, and certainly the Supreme Court makes up the laws of this land and can change them at any time they want to. Why, we have lost all of our concepts of rule by law, and we've established rule by man, which of course always leads eventually to dictatorship.
And the sad reality is that most Americans don't know the truth. They don't know the worldview of our founding fathers, that it was a biblical worldview, particularly as they thought about law and government and what they viewed as good government, based upon God's law, that God's law is absolute, supreme, and any human law made that violates God's law is rubbish. And of course, God's law is found in the Bible. That's where it's clearly explained to us. We don't need to wonder what God thinks or muse about it. Instead, we just read it, and by reading it, then we can apply it in a civil society. And that's exactly what they did in the founding era. We've talked about the Declaration of Independence and the reasons why they knew they had a God-given right to separate from England. It was clear, and they stated it in 28 reasons there in the Declaration. But moreover, they expressed in the Declaration the clear philosophy of government that they were establishing this new country upon, and that was that there is a Creator God. Our rights come only from our Creator God, therefore they're unalienable, cannot be taken away. They come from God, and the whole purpose, the sole reason for government instituted among men is that government would secure, protect, and defend our God-given rights. And when a government doesn't do that, it does the opposite, then we have a God-given right to replace that government, which is exactly what they did in the Declaration of Independence.
But of course, the law of our land is not what the president says, not what the legislature says. The law of the land is the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have lawbreakers at the highest echelons of a government, why, of course, we have terrorists working in Washington, D.C. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and we are talking about the American form of government. And, of course, this form of government is different than any other form of government there's ever been. We are really a true republic, but our government is different than that. We acknowledge that our freedoms come from God. And that's what the Declaration of Independence says. And that governments are instituted to actually protect our God-given rights. This is right from the Declaration of Independence, never taught in our schools today. And they will try to tell you this is not a Christian nation, and yet the Constitution was signed in the day of our Lord. And in 1787, you will find out that the president has a certain amount of time to work, to sign bills excluding Sundays. Why? Because Sunday was a holy day in when this country was founded, and the men who drew up our Constitution knew that Sunday or Saturday was the Sabbath, and that was the very, very special day in the heart and minds of Christians. And everyone who established this country knew we were a Christian nation. Now, we had many sects of Christianity. That's why they didn't say we're Presbyterian or Anglican or Congregational. But repeatedly, the Supreme Court has held America was a Christian nation until, of course, the wicked people took over control of the Supreme Court under the rule of FDR and Harry Truman, both who were Masons, and transformed our society. Well, let's get to what we're going to talk about today with Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, pick up the story.
Well, as they signed that Declaration of Independence, they immediately had lost their colonial governments, that is, the governments that had ruled them up to that point in time in each of the 13 colonies, no longer was legitimate government. So when they returned from Philadelphia after signing the Declaration, the first order of business was to form state governments, and each state formed its own constitution and developed its structure of government that began to operate at that point in time. And then they regathered, and Congress drafted, John Dickinson was the one who led this committee in 1776, drafted Articles of Confederation, a way in which the 13 brand new states could work together and coordinate among one another. It's not truly a constitution, the Articles of Confederation. It's more of a compact among states that they agreed to certain things. For example, it established very clearly the sovereignty of each of these 13 states. These states were their own nation, you could see. I know I've read people early in the history of Maryland that between the Declaration and the beginning of the 19th century would say, "My nation is Maryland."
Hold that thought.
That was the attitude.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney, and he was talking about how after the Declaration of Independence was signed, why suddenly we had, in effect, dissolved the existing government. So each one of our 13 colonies established its own state government, its own constitution, and then they actually drew up something called the Articles of Confederation, which were then aimed at uniting the 13 individual states into some sort of a union. It wasn't a constitution, it was just an agreement on how they were going to get along. And everybody considered themselves not as a citizen of the United States, but a citizen of Maryland, citizen of Virginia. So pick up the story there.
And that's an important concept to remember, because that idea that I was a citizen of my state and therefore I was part of the United States, United small u, because my state was in league or in a confederation with these other states, that is a very strong concept that was basically drummed out of the minds of Americans in the war between the states. You recall what the southern states called themselves. They called themselves a confederacy. They actually developed a constitution very similar to our constitution, but they recognized that what was slipping away, even at that early stage in the history of our land, what was slipping away was the concept of the sovereignty of each state. That each state was its own sovereign government, and that the centralized government in Washington, D.C., by the design of our founders, was a very limited centralized government. It did not have all powers. It had a very limited list of powers, and it could only function in those limited areas that had been granted to it. Any areas not stated that it had powers over by the Constitution, the Ninth Amendment said, those are reserved to the states. In fact, if you read the Federalist Papers, it's very clear that our founders understood that the states had enormous, wide-ranging powers, and the federal government had very limited power. Well, now that whole system has been turned on its head. The federal government has enormous powers, and the states have very limited, sometimes almost no power whatsoever. They just wind up being mere subdivisions of some federalized bureaucracy, and therefore when states pass laws, the Supreme Court routinely strikes down state laws when the design was that the Supreme Court would be the check on the federal government, not on the state government, but on the federal government. So I mention this in the context of the Articles of Confederation because the sovereignty of the states was critically important in the founding of our country, not just during the Declaration and Articles of Confederation stage, but in the formation of the Constitution, and at least 70, 80 years following the Constitution, it was clear each of the states is sovereign in and of itself. It's not a political subdivision of the United States.
And, of course, as Jefferson wrote so well, and if you'd like to see what he wrote, and we have it, The Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson, by like a thief by night and by day, taking a little power here and a little power there until all power shall be centralized in Washington, D.C., and we will have a government as venal as the one we've recently separated from. Thomas Jefferson feared that, and that's exactly what's happened. The Supreme Court has been violating our laws consistently. The legislature could have negated that simply by imposing Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, which says that the federal government, at least the legislature, can limit the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. But legislators have been afraid to do that. And then, of course, many of them, of course, went right along with this idea because they're of centralizing all power in Washington, D.C., because that gives the legislators more power and more tip bribes. After all, the more power you have, why, the more expensive it is to buy and sell our politicians. And anybody who doesn't think that they buy and sell the politicians in Washington, D.C. is incredibly naive.
And the sad reality is that impeachment in his day, and following that quote, in his day, he saw impeachment as a scarecrow. He said, it's not likely to be used. People are afraid of using it. It's just there on paper, but it has no power. I disagree with Jefferson on that point, because not only Article 3, Section 2, as you mentioned, reining in the judiciary in terms of saying it cannot rule on these issues, but also impeaching judges. As soon as judges do anything, the original intent of the Constitution, my Lord, with the exception of maybe Scalia and Thomas today, court justice down the road, should have been impeached long ago. Impeached as soon as they violated the original intent of the Constitution.
Especially when they talk about, well, we've got to see what they're doing over in Europe. We've got to look at the United Nations Charter and the European Charter to determine how we should impose our laws. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg so many of our Supreme Court justices have actually, I think, have said, well, we've got to look to other countries. Now, they didn't swear allegiance to the European Union or to the United Nations. They swore allegiance to our Constitution. These people have deceived us, but people do not understand there is an agenda behind everything going on today, and that is the destruction of America, a creation of a world government who will have a new, not only political, but a new spiritual leader as well. We'll pick up the story there, David.
Well, they stated the purpose for the Articles of Confederation was a league of friendship among the 13 states. It's common defense, security of liberty, and mutual welfare. And those are three very important purposes because you're going to hear them echoed very clearly in the Constitution. In other words, the Constitution, while making some structure, was really after the same purpose, the same goals as the Articles of Confederation. They were not repudiating the purposes of the Articles of Confederation. Rather, they were saying, you know, the way we structured it, it did not work well. We need to make some changes, but the purposes were the same. Now, one of the problems that it addressed was the rights of citizens as they went to another state. So, you know, move from Maryland, citizen of Maryland, and I travel in Virginia. Do I have rights in Virginia? And this Articles of Confederation established, yes, you do, as a citizen of a different state. It structured a Congress, and only a Congress, and a one-house Congress. And this is important because there was no federal judiciary, and there was no federal executive, and there was only one house of Congress, which means the design of a constitution wisely changed that because they recognized if you only have one body, that body can become corrupt and tyrannical, and there's no check on its abuse of power. Therefore, later when the structure was designed with a two-house Congress and with executive and a federal judiciary, all these were designed to place checks upon the powers granted to those who represent the people in Congress. They stated that states may not make treaties or standing armies except as necessary for defense, because they knew by their own experience what happens when there's a standing army. What King George had done, he kept a standing army in the colonies and then began to abuse the colonies with that standing army. And as we have noted before, whenever you have a standing army, it's going to be put to use. The politicians are not going to just sit by and let that army twiddle their thumbs and drill endlessly. They're going to put that army to use.
And I think what people have to understand is the United States, in the name of defending ourselves from the wicked Osama bin Laden living in a cave somewhere, now we're the only predominant force in the world. We're the lone superpower. We spend more money than the next 20 nations in the world put together, and that money isn't being spent to defend America. It is being spent to impose American rule throughout the world. And empire, we have troops in 130 nations. Do you really think they're defending America? Are they imposing our rule? Do you think that we are them to the people of Afghanistan and Iraq? And if we are, why do they seem to be so unhappy with us? And are we really bringing freedom to the people of Saudi Arabia? Are we really bringing people freedom to the people who live in the feudal monarchy in Kuwait? I mean, are we really about the world, or is there another agenda behind what's going on? And I agree with you, David. I think that our founding fathers were so wise, they did not want a large standing army. They didn't want a standing army. That's why you had to have a new appropriation for the army every 2 years. And they wanted to keep a small army for the defense of America. Our army is not defending America. It is imposing American rule throughout the world. And it's about time the American people woke up and saw what's really going on and quit listening to ABC and Rush Limbaugh.
That's right. And wake up before it's too late, because the president last week said that he's going to use the army. If there's this avian flu, there's going to be a quarantine and people will not be able to travel. And he's going to use the... We saw the example there in New Orleans. That's going to be the standard use for the army now. The Army is going to begin replacing police functions in these United States. That should terrorize every American to recognize that our freedoms are that close from being removed with a declaration by the president of martial law and the use of the military. And the military doesn't want this, because they know their soldiers have not been trained to be policemen. They don't.
And that is really, they're trained for combat. They're trained to kill and destroy. That's the function of the military. That is how you win a war. War is a terrible, terrible thing. So why do they want to use the American military against them? Why don't we get our National Guard? Oh, please, bringing freedom to the people in Iraq while they're going to use the American military against the American populace? I think everybody should ask, why would a Christian president be talking about repealing the Posse Comitatus law and using the American military in the case of emergency, of course, to declare a military dictatorship in America? Concerned that maybe we're being misled.
Yes, and they wisely in the Articles of Confederation set up some ways in which the states maintain control over any army that was brought together. For example, states appointed the militia. The state was in control of the militia. As a matter of fact, the state appointed all the officers of their state militia, with the exception of generals. The generals would be appointed by the Congress, but the state basically was in control of their own militia and destroyed in our day.
The National Guard that should be here in case of a national emergency, whether it be a hurricane or an earthquake or certainly maybe a major epidemic. And then, of course, they sent them overseas to fight in an imperialistic war. We've done everything we could to destabilize the Iraqi civilization. We dismantled their police force. We dismantled their civil service and said, oh, shucks, looky there. Why? There's chaos. Well, we're just going to have to stay here indefinitely. And we're not doing anything at all to solve the problem. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a decreed name that came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills talking about the formation of a secret almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment and Mentor is one of the most important books you'll ever read and available by calling 1-800-5-HR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in Zetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine's alcohol and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French. In fact, the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinex is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinex. It's a dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney, and we're talking about the immersion, the most amazing document, and yet most people really don't understand this. There's been a conscious effort using our education, our schools, our high schools, and our dumbed-down the America. People throughout the world have always looked to America as this wonderful society because here, for the first time in all recorded history, an element of freedom that had never existed, and certainly there were imperfections. Eventually, most of these imperfections have been worked out, but we were always, of course, the envy of other nations. We were known as a Christian nation. With this, what's going on in the world today and the torture that's going on in the White House saying you can't pass legislation that'll restrict people and saying to the Senate, you have no right, we will do what we want to. How can a Christian administration authorize torturing people? And how do you think the rest of the world feels about America as a Christian nation that has launched wars of aggression and now, of course, authorizes torture? And anybody who says, well, but we wouldn't do that sort of thing, then why did they object to the Senate passing legislation restricting their right to continue torturing people and shipping them by plane to other countries to be tortured? Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and I would ask our audience, what are you doing about what's going on? Don't you realize that one day you will be held responsible not for only for what you've done, but for what you haven't done? Pick up the story there, David.
And so as we speak about the checks that they placed on the militant, that they reined the military in, that the military was under the control of the sovereign states. The costs for war were to be paid out of the Confederate treasury, that is, of all the states combined that Congress was in control of. And the articles, of course, spell out the powers of Congress and speak of a committee of states that when Congress is in recess, nine states could make decisions in behalf of Congress while in recess. One of the articles is they expected Canada to join them, and so they opened the door that Canada could join the Confederacy during that period of time. They also stated something that most do the opposite of. Federation of 13 states would honor all past debts. It's almost a given that every country that forms itself in a new political fashion abolishes all of its debts. Say, we're not going to pay any of those debts. We don't owe that money any longer. But the men who formed the Articles of Confederation, the men who were the founders of our country, they believed the Bible. And the Bible says when you make a vow and you make a promise to do something, like to pay a debt, you'd better pay that because you have given a solemn promise to another person. And that blessed is the man who honors the vow he's made even when it hurts him, is what the scripture says. And they understood that, so they made a commitment to honor past debts, which immediately brought our country into respect as people looked at the Christian principles being applied as the government was being structured. One of the Articles of Confederation that really turned out to be a great weakness was that unanimous consent of all 13 states was required for any amendment of these Articles of Confederation. That meant everybody had to agree that was representing their states. Every legislature had to agree to any changes at all unanimously. And that presented some grave difficulties as time moved forward, that some states would never agree to any changes whatsoever, Rhode Island actually being one of those.
Now, wasn't that one of the reasons why when the delegates went to Philadelphia in there in 1787, they decided that rather than try to modify in some way the Articles of Confederation, which would require a 100% vote, that maybe they'd come up with a new document that would, of course, be the Constitution of the United States, and would be so much stronger, and yet it would not be an authoritarian document at all, but they realized that they would never be able to get 100% agreement from all the states.
Right. And actually, they wouldn't, because Rhode Island never would send a delegation at all representing their state to the Constitution. At the very start of the convention, they were not going to have a unanimous the Articles of Confederation, which is why they did propose an entirely new document. And some people challenge that and say, well, that doesn't sound right. But when you consider it, the Constitution was only ratified as nine of those states said yes to it, which that number nine recollects what the Articles of Confederation said. You could have a committee of states when Congress was in recess. States meeting together could make decisions. The ratification was chosen by each state. In the sense, each state could choose to join this new form or they could stay with the old form. And, of course, ultimately all 13 states did choose to ratify the Constitution. So,
although Rhode Island was pretty late in coming on board.
That's right. They held out that joining made far better sense than staying on their own.
We'll be out and back in just a moment here with Pastor David Whitney on the Institute of the Constitution.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS epidemic, it gives you my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently broke health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
When was the last time you used...
sound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body? If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, a group that has set up an educational program all across America to try to rekindle a belief in our form of government. Because if you don't understand America, our form of government, and why we are different than other nations, then, of course, you'll never be able to become effective in this battle. And if there are enough people who don't care about ours, soon will become simply a remembrance of things past. David, how can people get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution and learn about what you're doing?
Actually, we encourage them to host a class themselves, not teach. We have Dr. John Eidsmo, constitutional law professor, in 12 lectures, give a presentation of the Christian History Heritage Foundation, the biblical worldview of our founding fathers, and then giving the listeners and students a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, as well as how way from that form of government bequeathed to us by our founders and how we've gotten into the mess that we're in today, and the road back. The road back is teaching other people these truths by hosting a class and then taking action politically, putting people out of office who will not follow the original intent of the Constitution, putting people into office who will. They can call us and order a host kit toll-free. Our number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or if they want to, they can order on the web. Our website is iotconline.com. That's all one word, iotconline.com. And we encourage people because we know that the way back begins with educating people. It's got to start there. People's got to understand what our founders understood and believed in order to restore this constitutional republic they created. And there's some great encouraging things. I know that there's a move, communicating with some of our friends in Utah, a move throughout every district of Utah to hold an institute on the Constitution there to train people in these principles and then to unleash them to only elect people to the State House of Utah and to the Congress that will follow the Founding Fathers' principles.
Well, I think that's really exciting to know this is taking place not only in Utah, but all across America. How many states have they hosted these meetings, David?
Currently 47 states, and many of the states are becoming more active. We have more classes graduating this year than we had the previous year, and that's more than the year before that. So it's growing. As more Americans are recognizing there's something wrong, there's something desperately wrong, and they may not be able to put their finger on it until they study what our founders taught and believed what they structured our form of government to be and how it's being violated today, not only in Washington, D.C., but sadly in state capitals as well.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think it's so vitally important that, people begin to get a grasp of what's really going on in our country today, and that we're losing our freedom because we don't understand the foundation of our freedom, and there really are people who would love to rule over us. There have always been those who felt that they should rule, that we need a ruling aristocracy. And that's just the direction we're heading today when we have both presidential candidates in 2004 coming from the same secret society from Yale University, and both of them, when asked about Skull and Bone, said, oh, it's so secret, we can't comment on it. And then they never noticed how they sort of smile at one another. I think they're just saying, I wonder how dumb the American people really are. Well, David, let's pick up the story of the Articles of Confederation and how it was then we came to establish the Constitution when the convention had been called in Philadelphia there in 1787 simply to rework the Articles of Confederation.
That's right, and the reason that convention was called is people recognized there were some glaring problems with the Articles. For example, the fact that there was no federal judiciary was a problem. Now, today we might look at it like a good thing if we didn't have all those dumb federal judges, those black-robed tyrants, and so on. But the reality is, if you understand the Constitution, they were structured to be a check upon one another, a check upon the executive by the judiciary and by the legislature, a check on the judiciary by the legislature. Each one of the three branches was to check the powers of the other because they knew mankind are sinners. Even those who are redeemed sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ are sinners, are not to be trusted with ultimate power. No one is to be trusted with ultimate power. And so lacking the check upon the powers of Congress was a real problem that was recognized during this period of time. Also, the federal government had no taxing power. Again, we might say, oh, that sounds like a great thing. Boy, we wish the federal government had no taxing power. Instead, during the Articles of Confederation, only thing Congress could do is give asking the states to voluntarily give money for the purposes Congress had slated it for. For example, the war. The war for independence, we won just by a hair's breadth because we received a great deal of help, specifically from France, who had a natural enemy in England and wanted to see England defeated. But the problem with the war largely was a financial problem. You know, our boys at Valley Forge and other places suffered greatly because they didn't have adequate shoes or clothing. Often they didn't have adequate armaments, not enough gunpowder or bullets. I mean, you can't fight a war if you don't have ammunition. And the problem was, all that Congress could do would say, you know, we need $10,000 for whatever it is for the army, and we send out a requisition to the 13 states and ask them to make a contribution. And of course, the state legislatures at that point in time were not year-round, and so they would only meet for part of the year, and when they'd meet, you know, they'd look through all the different things they were dealing with and pay all their bills, so to speak, and well, if there's any money left over, well, yeah, okay, we can send some to Congress to pay for that. So it really hampered the war effort tremendously that the federal government had no taxing powers and the states were not very cooperative in meeting the needs that really were very real needs.
But I think it's so important to recognize that when they specifically said there would be no income tax, no direct tax by the federal government on the people, and they would get their money by tariffs and by excise taxes, and then if they really needed money, why they would actually vote and require the states to give money. But you have to remember that the senators were elected by the states; they were not elected by the people, and that way, you know, if this senator voted for a lot of money, you know, to be taken from his state, he wasn't going to get selected again by that state legislature. So he represented the state. He did not represent the power elite who buy and sell our senators with indiscretion today.
And that's an important principle because the way the Articles of Confederation were structured, that the bill for what taxes were due, well, they were voluntary in the Articles of Confederation, but the bill was sent to the state, not to individual citizens of the state. No, it was sent to the state, and the state then was to determine that money by a, you know, it could be by a sales tax or even an income tax, whatever the state chose.
No, but there were very, very few states that had income taxes. Income taxes were hated by the people.
They were.
And the only reason they got this thing in is they lied to the American people. They said, oh, this is only for the very wealthy. Mm-hmm. How many times have we heard that? Oh, we've got to have new legislation because those wealthy people are getting out without paying any taxes, so we've got to modify the income tax. Because, you know, there are 100 millionaires that don't pay any taxes, and they pass new legislation. Now there are 1,000 millionaires that don't pay any taxes, so, oh, we've got to have now an alternative minimum tax. And lo and behold, the alternative minimum tax now is for everybody. And so George Bush cuts the tax rate, and then we're all under the alternative minimum tax, which within another 2 years will increase all of our taxes.
The evil system has gotten away because the checks and balances designed by our founders were not followed by those that were placed into power, which is because the American people, not understanding the original design of our Constitution, have not kept their elected officials accountable to the terms of this contract. And you can see the Constitution as a contract. Well, another weakness that they saw in the Articles of Confederation is that there was no federal enforcement power. That is, Congress could pass a law and say, okay, here's the law of the land. Well, anybody could violate it because the federal government had no way of enforcing it. They couldn't haul somebody into court and say, you violated this law, and so there was no enforcement powers. And then the third, we've already mentioned this one, that all states must consent to amendments. So the weaknesses of the Articles of Confederation, particularly during the time the war was being glaring, and the Articles of Confederation barely held the nation together during the war, and after the war, problems emerged even greater. For example, combined inflation and recession at the same time, the worst economic condition. Part of this is because, under the Articles of Confederation, paper fiat currency was permitted. The federal government printed currency that was known as continentals. And perhaps you've heard the phrase, worthless as a continental. That's nothing to do with an automobile. That's to do with a paper currency during the Articles of Confederation era. People recognized that this paper currency was backed by nothing except promises from Congress, and highly unlikely because Congress couldn't raise any money itself. So people refused after a while to accept this currency. They said, I want gold or silver. I want something of value. I don't want this worthless continental. And find inflation as that paper currency devalued with recession just led to enormous economic problems. As we mentioned, Congress was unable to raise any money by requisitions. And there were domestic disturbances. Shays' Rebellion perhaps is the most notable one. But there was no way in which help could come to help quell this. And the states began treating each other as foreign nations, that is, trade situations, or when citizens from one state would travel to another, and there was border problems among the states squabbling over where the border lines were, as well as border problems with the English in Canada and the Spanish in the West. So a number of different problems were building to a head. During the war itself, Alexander Hamilton wrote letters urging a stronger government, but we know his agenda. His agenda was a monarchical kind of constitution, which ultimately, we thank God providentially, was defeated in the Constitution Convention. And as you mentioned, he stormed out because he was so mad having lost the argument on that.
And of course, what most people have missed is that Hamilton was an elitist, he was a Mason, and he wanted a government very much like to have an executive there for life. And, of course, this is what the elitists have always wanted. And but anyway, Hamilton did come back after the Constitution had been drawn up, and, of course, he wanted to play some part in, establishing the new government. And, of course, he was the one who brought in the first bank of the United States, because he said if you could create a fiat money system in the United States, whoever controlled the money would control the government. It didn't matter what the people wanted. It didn't matter what the legislature wanted. If he could create a central bank and issue fiat money, he would become far more powerful than the president, which, of course, would initially happen. But pick up the story there.
Yes. Well, to persuade his own state, New York, to pass a resolution urging a constitutional convention, but none of the other 12 states joined in this, and Hamilton urged Congress to call a convention with no success. But there was one ear that Hamilton, as a close friend, had of George Washington, and he convinced Washington, and Washington had seen up front on the front lines of the war the painful difficulties and weaknesses of the Articles of Confederation. So Washington wrote a letter to all 13 states urging a constitutional convention. And this began to persuade people in 1785 such that the following year, 1786, Congress itself called for a trade conference. But only five states showed up. Actually, it was here in my town here of Annapolis, Maryland. They showed up, and they really weren't able to do anything without a quorum. But the following year, 1787, Congress called for a Constitution Convention to be held in Philadelphia, beginning on the 14th of May, for the sole purpose, and this is quoting directly what Congress said, for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation. We know that original commission Congress gave to them, they began to recognize was unworkable, because they were never going to get a representation from Rhode Island, so that's when they began to put together a different plan or constitution. By May 14th, though, when the day it was supposed to start, there was only two delegates from two states. And so the convention actually didn't begin until the 25th of May. But those days, from the 14th of May to the 25th of May, 1787, were vitally important. During that time, Madison and others from Virginia prepared what's known as the Virginia Resolves, which basically set out an agenda for the Constitution Convention, and that's often why James Madison is rightly called the father of our Constitution. His ideas and his thoughts as he put them down and began to draft an agenda ultimately to produce our glorious document, the Constitution. Well, the Constitutional Convention itself was attended by 55 delegates from 12 states. As I mentioned, Rhode Island did not have even one delegate into the convention. And if you look through those 55 delegates, you'll find that these were experienced and very educated, intelligent men. 31 attorneys, 19 military veterans, 28 former congressmen, 2 college presidents, 3 college professors, and 9 several doctors and scientists. And if you look at this list and you look at what they believed, you'll discover that all of them believed the Christian religion in the terms of what it stated about law and government. Even those that some would accuse of deism, such as Benjamin Franklin. Ben Franklin, by the time of the convention, was not a deist. He called for prayer in a very moving speech, and he said that, you know, the supreme God of the universe has governed and superintended and spared us in the war. Appeal to him for prayer. Deists would never call for anyone to pray because the God that deist believes in is not involved in the universe at all. He wound it up, set it in motion, has nothing to do with it. Franklin was not a deist, and you look at the other men, the 55, all Christian churches. That one that we don't know, not because he wasn't a Christian, but we just don't have enough information preserved through history on him. These were Christian men, and they were putting together a constitution, as we'll see when we study the details, that's based upon biblical principles, based upon a biblical view of law and government. They had as an assumption of grace, agreed upon values that the laws of nature and nature's God were the foundation. And that second phrase, the laws of nature's God, refers directly to the Bible. That's the foundation of all law. That God has given us unalienable rights of life, liberty, property, and so on. And that government is established by a covenant, which is a religious agreement, which gives government only such limited power as the people delegate to it. It's so important to remember. Government is by the consent of the governed, and we the people have only consented to give the federal government those powers granted by the Constitution and no more.
Well, David, we're just about out of time. Let's get out your website and of course your telephone number again, and next month when you're back on this same station, we'll of course cover this even more. So let's get your website and your telephone number on.
Our website is iotconline.com, and our toll-free number to call and order is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796.
God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
Give my best to all the people back there at the Institute.
I will.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll be back here in just a minute to wrap up this afternoon's program. But remember, the Constitution is the foundation of our freedom. If you don't understand it, you don't understand it. And there are people who really want to take it away.
A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, Due to Global Occupation. his second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots by Gary Carr.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated pure soaps, exclusive in hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calben.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents were on vacation. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality of the biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know VHM gives my children the tools to succeed in interviews. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and if you really want to understand our Constitution and the foundations of our freedom, let me suggest several books we carry. One is America's God and Country by William Federer, certainly one of my favorite guests. And we carry the book. You can get it on CD, which has a lot more information, but certainly the book is over 800 pages, crammed full of quotations and information about the foundations of the freedom of the American people. The Original Intent by David Barton, we think, is must-reading. The Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. The Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. And then, of course, we have Abandonment Theology by John Salfont. All of these books will give you the background of what's really going on. We have a book by Phyllis Schlafly called The Supremacist. It goes into the Supreme Court, and then another book on the wall of separation between church and state, written by an attorney. But all of these will give you the information you need to be able to discuss intelligently the Constitution of the United States and why our founding fathers a republic, not a democracy, the difference between a republic and a democracy, and most important of all, the fact that a limited government and liberty are synonymous, and that total government and tyranny are synonymous. We have a great four-tape set called The Foundations of Our Freedom. If you'd like to get our interviews with David Whitney, we could put together some tape sets on that for you, because David works full-time while preaching in his own church, trying to educate what's going on. And we hope many of you will want to join us in this battle, because, you see, if we don't take America back, we're going to have war after war after war. Are you going to be concerned when your children are sent off to fight and die in foreign wars that are contrived and have no basis at all other than the imperialism of those people who would establish a new world order? And there really are people who have a different worldview, and because they march to a different drumbeat. They hear a different trumpet. They worship a different God. If you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that's Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to see the video, either Brotherhood of Darkness video or Secrets of the Illuminati. It's the same story, only, of course, the Secrets of the Illuminati is a lot longer. And then, of course, to really understand with the wars, the epidemics, the disease we're seeing, why is cancer on the rise? Why is Alzheimer's disease on the rise? Why is diabetes and heart disease on the rise here in America? Well, why does 1 in 6 American children have a neurodevelopmental abnormality? And why are there 65 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease? And we see these advertisements on television all the time. This young man smiling and saying, well, I haven't had an outbreak of herpes in many months now since I've been taking this wonderful new pill. 65 million Americans have a virally transmitted sexual disease, and the only difference between that and love is that these diseases last forever. You're not going to get over them. So understand what we're really up against. You need to get our new DVD, either DVD or video. It's called Planned Population Reduction, a talk we gave recently back in Topeka, Kansas, put together by the Prophecy Club, a very professional job. That's Planned Population Reduction. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And as for, well, any of the books we talked about, America's God and Country, The Faith of Our Founding Fathers, Original Intent, the book on the wall of separation between church and state, but of course, let me stress the importance of the new DVD and or video, Planned Population Reduction. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products if you need a big Berkey or a Berkey Light, and if you get them through us, why, you can get a free video or free 4 tapes that we produced. And let me tell you, we're moving into very uncertain times. You need a means of purifying your water. Remember, we're having an all-day session here, an all-day seminar on the 19th of November, and we're serving lunch. We need to have reservations. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-